Welcome to Relational Skills in Real Life, a Thrive Today podcast where we share everyday stories of encouragement and transformation from people using relational skills in their lives. Spend time with us and be inspired by real-life examples of how we use relational skills to strengthen and repair our relational connections. We're so glad you're here.
Hello, friends. Chris Corso here, president of Thrive Today, and I want to welcome you to the Relational Skills in Real Life podcast. Friends, today's focus is on what am I feeling? That's right. What am I feeling? You know what? What do you do when you're upset? Do you find that emotions drive you to connect, that emotions compel you to be relational and to put words to your upsets and to be able to ride the wave so that you coast into joy and peace from your emotions? Well, if you're like most of us, that's probably not the case because emotions are hard. It's kind of like learning to surf, right? It's really hard to stay on that surfboard. It's really easy in theory. People who know how to do it make it look so easy, but the reality is it's really hard to stay afloat, to stay on that board, especially when the wind and the waves start a blowing. So emotions should, in an ideal world, draw us, compel us to connect instead of isolate. But when we don't know how to manage what we feel, then you know what? Your brain will go on old tracks that are often non-relational in nature, and we'll end up doing the things that we've learned to do, even if we don't like it. And so part of the challenge with navigating our emotions and our upsets and our feelings is because we lose all self-awareness. And so self-awareness is one of those kind of a little more unknown aspects of learning to manage what we feel. We are sometimes the last to know that we're upset, aren't we? We're the last to know that something's going on in us. And it's often the people who know us and say, come up to us and say, hey, what's going on in you? You look upset today, or you look like you're withdrawn, or you look sad, or, you know, our face often tells a story, and a little bit of self-awareness goes a long way. And so it's no small thing to learn to notice when we lose our peace and our joy. And this takes a little bit of practice, and it often requires some examples as well as the capacity to stay afloat when we notice we're starting to lose our peace. And so having examples and having people with relational skills really goes a long way. But sometimes, let's face it, we are the last to know that we're experiencing a certain emotion. So learning to process what we feel is actually a learned skill. And so people who are able to attune with us, people who can help us feel seen, heard, and understood really help our brain to learn the skill and the pathway from the emotion back to glad to be together joy. So these are people that have the skill to be able to help us feel peaceful and even to be still while we navigate those big feelings. We can stay on that surfboard. Well, friends, I've got an exciting guest today. I'm very eager for you to hear from my friend Annie. Annie has a great example of a time that she had some big feelings, and we're going to hear about how she and her husband navigated that terrain.
I'm going to tell you a story today about how I returned to joy from sad. I learned a few years ago in one of my joy groups that you can tend to sidetrack from one emotion to another when you don't know how to feel it. So I learned that I used to sidetrack from sad to mad because it was easier for me to feel that strong, angry feeling. So one night I made dinner and I was expecting my husband to be home from work right when dinner was done, and he wasn't. And so I texted him to see what time he would be home, and he said he had decided to go to the gym. And so I got really mad because I thought he was going to be there, and I had just spent an hour cooking. I felt my body get tense, and I kind of threw the phone down and just played my little hissy fit, and my face got red and flushed, and I just was mad because I was home alone and I wanted someone to eat dinner with me. So he came home and I did my usual coping mechanism, which was to give him the silent treatment. So if he went upstairs, I came downstairs. If he went downstairs, I went upstairs. Eventually, he realized something's not right with Annie. So he stopped me on the stairs and he has learned to read my emotions and said, "Annie," looking me in the eye, "I think you're covering mad with sad, and we don't do that anymore, do we?" So that kind of made me take a deep breath. And then I realized I was just lonely, and it kind of touched my heart. I got a little lump in my throat, kind of felt like I was about to cry because I felt like he saw me and he saw how I was feeling, and he was able to arrest me in my emotion, tell me what was going on. And then it kind of snapped me out of it. And then we kind of giggled about it, returning to joy. And I was able to sit with him and talk to him while he ate dinner. So that's how I returned from sad to joy.
All right. Wasn't that something? Here's a beautiful example of what it can look like to lose your joy and your peace and then find your joy and peace again. Let's face it. Joy and peace is like a hidden treasure when we're upset. And ideally, we learn how to find that joy and that peace again. And Annie's very transparent and vulnerable about her example here. What's really neat about Annie's example is that her husband read the room. That's right. He read the room. He noticed something's going on here in Annie, and he knows her enough to be able to read her body and her face and say, "You know what? Something's going on here. What's happening in you?" And her husband reminded Annie who she is. Like, it is like us to do these things when we're upset. It is like us to do this, and it's not like us to do that. And so he helped Annie to feel seen, heard, and understood. And what a beautiful game changer. And again, it sounds so easy to do, but the reality is this is hard to pull off. So thankfully, Annie's husband was able to stay his relational self. You didn't hear him going to get defensive about his decisions. You didn't hear him try to make excuses. He simply tried to help Annie feel seen, heard, and understood, and he connected. That is just such a powerful example. So that's good news for all of us, that we can learn to manage what we feel. And when your brain starts to develop these return to joy pathways, you know what? Your brain will learn that direct path back to joy and peace from whatever emotion it is that we're feeling. And so we can reflect on this a little bit today, is what happens in you when you feel stuck in a rut of upset or turmoil or some big emotions? What do you do? Does it drive you to connect? Does it drive you to be with people that you love, or does it push you away? Is there room for you to be a more connected, more engaged, more joyful and peaceful person when emotions strike? Friend, that's why we at Thrive Today train relational skills, because we all have room for growth. And I hope that Annie's example with her husband really encourages you today. And you can learn more about emotions with some of our free webinars. We have a specific webinar that's about emotions that energize and drain. The link is with this podcast. Really good webinar, as well as join us at one of our premier Thrive trainings. Thrive training is a 5-day training where we are training the skills here to learn to manage what we feel so that we can bounce back to joy and stay our relational selves no matter what's going. And the good news is when you have these skills, you will use them every day of your life.
Thank you for listening. Check the description of this episode for specific resources and visit us at thrivetoday.org anytime. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and share it with friends. We look forward to seeing you next time.